Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Musicals with Cheese. And today I have an ultra special guest. Her name is Kim Katzberg. She is an award-winning queer playwright and actor. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Now, is that the correct terminology? That was given to me by the publicist, but now I'm just like, maybe I should have run that by you. Is that good?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like, queer is always like weird for me because I was always straight my whole life, like pretty much my whole life. And then I ended up marrying a woman. And I mean, yeah, but I always feel like my sexuality is just fluid. Like, I don't like identify so much with, like, you know, I mean, I guess I would say I'm bisexual, but that also doesn't feel right to me. So it's always like, I remember Sarah Paulson once said in an interview, she was like, yeah, you know, cause she's dating like a woman. She's like, yeah, I think it's just my sexuality is fluid, you know? And I feel like that like fits for me better, but queer is like, you know, I guess it's important to put that out there. So yeah.
Yes, and I agree with that, but it is a community of sorts, and sometimes, like, even me with what I am, I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm a part of that community, but it's complicated, and I love learning, so it's great.
Yeah. But I am a actor, and I'm a writer. I feel like I'm more of, like, a creator. Like, I create characters, and then I write stories from there, and when I think of, like, playwright, I'm like, oh, it sounds weird. I usually don't, like, sit down and type out something. I, like, I'm improvising on my feet usually. So, but yeah, you got it right.
And I want to say congratulations, because you won the New York Innovative Theater Award for Outstanding Solo Performance in 2019. Congratulations for Dad in a Box.
Yeah, I was so surprised. I was so excited. And, you know, like 10 years ago, I remember I was like, when I was first working on my first solo show, and I like saw this woman like won that award. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. You know, like, I wonder if that'll never happen. You know, I could never do that. And it's just cool that like 10 years, it's been like a decade since I started making my own work. And then I got that recognition, and it was really surprising, and it was very validating. And it also just feels like the beginning of, you know, the journey, so to speak, I guess. So.
Now it's back at the Wild Project for one night only on January 5th.
Yeah. About like 9 months ago, I did a run at Here Art Center, which I feel like I was just scratching the surface of what this show is about, which is about my father's death. And then also like being in improv class and dealing with that. And while I'm taking this improv class, and then now it's like I'm starting to go deeper into it, which is really exciting. So this is like a one night only thing at the Wild Project. But I'm excited to see like how it is now after it's been like about 9 months. So.
So how long did you work on Dad in a Box before that original production?
In 2017 in August, I was taking this immersive improv class at Second City in Chicago for a month. I had a travel grant, and I was there with my wife. And 3 weeks into the class, we were subletting a place in Chicago. I got a call from my dad, and we're kind of estranged. And it was like, whoa, you know, this is scary that he's kind of even calling me. So I called him back, and like right away, he just said, like, I have pancreatic cancer and I'm dying. And it was just like, whoa, this is crazy. It was not what I was expecting, obviously. And he's always like been very youthful and just like healthy. Well, I mean, he's an alcoholic, but I always saw him as kind of invincible. So it was just so crazy that it was going to happen so rapidly. So then basically it's the story of dealing with this really fast demise. And so since that has happened, about like 4 months after he died, I started writing this piece. So I've been working on it for a while.
And it uses multimedia platforms in many ways. I kind of want you to elaborate on that, because it sounds incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, I've always used video in my work, and in a low tech way, very low tech. And it's the video really is kind of like showing the work that I'm making in this improv class. So it's like these two narratives that are kind of like interweaving. And there are these like fantasy commercials of me making these like sketches about death. But they're irreverent. And, you know, it's kind of like I'm mourning my father's death inappropriately through these, you know, comedy class, so to speak. So, yes.
So have you always had a love for theater and theatrical like expression?
It's like, it's funny because in fourth grade, I remember, the play they were going to do was Robin Hood, which I was like, ugh, Robin Hood. I have no connection to that. I don't care about Robin Hood. But I remember thinking, and I was like, oh, it's all guys or something, you know, that are in it. And then I was like, but there were auditions and I was like, oh my God. And I had this like feeling inside that was like this in my gut that was really visceral. And I was like, I have to do it. And I was always like incredibly shy and introverted as a kid. And I mean, I still am, but I remember like getting up there to audition and it was just like, it felt so intense. And I felt like it was coming from my guts in this way that was so visceral. And ever since then, I've just had this really intense passion for performing, even though I don't feel like I'm naturally good at it. Like I've had to work really hard to kind of get better as an actor. I think I have like this raw thing inside, but I've had to really hone it.
And how would you describe yourself, your art, and your artistic goals to those who might not be aware of your work before this?
My artistic goals are to constantly be taking risks, you know, especially with each successive show, is to push myself into territory that scares me and that's like deeply honest in a way that is like I'm discovering what's honest for me in the process because it's so deep in there. And I feel like this show is my riskiest work because I'm playing myself for the first time. I also am playing characters like people in my family and also the characters in the commercials. But it was always like, I always hated seeing solo shows where people just get up there and like tell a story as themselves. Like I was always like, oh, it's so boring. You know, I mean, obviously it's like when it's done well, it's amazing. But I was just like, oh, that's not for me. Like, I just want to see characters. But then like my mentor was like, what if you tried being yourself? I was like, ooh. And I thought, no way. You know, I think that I'm going to be so boring. It's going to be so flat. I can't play myself. And then I like thought about it for a little while. I was like, you know what? I should try that because it's so scary for me that it's going to be interesting to do because it's like, I'm so afraid of it. So I like to go into risky territory. And I mean, I think that's what makes art interesting to watch is if it's for the performer, it's, you know, they're grappling with how to perform it kind of.
Mm-hmm. And do you find it hard to write for yourself? Like I'm a little too close to this character to like have an objective bias of it.
Yeah. I feel like I have like, there's a dichotomy there. It's for one thing, I feel like, I have a strong voice and point of view. And so in that way, it feels like really easy for me to be like, yeah, this is my aesthetic. This is my vision. But then also a lot of times fall into traps where I'm afraid of something. And so I avoid kind of what's really true for myself. So I like to get a lot of feedback and like with my director, Raquel Sion, you know, she really helps me like call me out on my bullshit or whatever, you know, because I need that outside eye to be like, you know what, no, go where you're scared because right now you're just, it's not, you know, you're like, you're not taking the chance that needs to be taken.
And I've spoken with Raquel and she's wonderful and she's a very, very blunt woman and it's,
exactly.
She's very frank.
She's scary. She's really scary. It's like, that, which is great. I'm always like, oh my God, you know, she's gonna, when she is not, is she, if she doesn't think it's going well, like, you know, and yet it's like, I, you know, I'll go home that night and just be like, oh man, that's, I need to work harder. But that's what I want. Of course, it's like, you want somebody that's going to really be honest with you and challenge you. And I love that about her. But yeah, she does not. She's never fakes it or pretends like she likes something if she doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you need as an artist, honestly. You don't want just be patting you on the back all the time.
Oh my God, that's terrifying. And you know, like deep down, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like in order to make good work, it has to be, you have to have people that are brutally honest with you.
So what is the hardest part about writing a one person piece?
It's lonely to do. I mean, I feel like I am such an introvert that it, there's something about me just alone in a bedroom even and making my own work that I can get to a place where I'm not worrying about what people think. So I'm able to kind of find worlds and characters that are very uninhibited because I'm not like worrying about pleasing anyone. And then later on, I can bring it out and perform it. It's like, oh, I got to make this in a world where it was safe for me. But it is lonely. And that's why I really enjoy working with Raquel as my director, because then it feels like a real collaboration. And it's like, it's fun. You know, you meet up and you have rehearsal and you get to talk and be friends. And, you know, also the relationships come with that. And then working with a lighting designer and set designer. And but I do enjoy also the solitariness of being a writer and a creator. I mean, there's something really nice about just being quiet and going through the world during that time period in the process where you're just like kind of, you know, quiet. Because I'm also, you know, like I said, I'm shy. So it's like performing is you're so out there and you have to, you know, afterward you're talking to the audience and it's like, it's a lot. So I like to have the periods where it's very more quiet.
Now, how would you describe your relationship with theater as a whole? And what do you think are your favorite pieces of theater?
Theater as a whole. I like to see stuff that is like under the radar. And, I see a lot of my friends' work. I tend to not like see like Broadway shows. I like stuff that's raw and honest and, you know, doing something that is not usually seen. I'm trying to think of like the last thing that I saw that I really liked. You know what I saw was Clay Woman. Have you heard of her?
I've heard of her, but I have not dove into it.
Yeah, it's my friend was in town from New Orleans, actually, and she was like, she wanted to see some theater. I was like, oh, I want to take her to something like off the beaten path, you know, that she wouldn't be able to find probably on her own. And so I did Showgasm at Ars Nova like years ago. And when I did that, I saw Clay Woman because she was performing and it was like, it was amazing. Like she's like a trillion, billion, zillion year old, like person from another planet. And she walks into the room and the whole space changes. And it's basically just her being interviewed. And it's just, it's a beautiful experience to like, just listen to her. And it's just.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
She's not even like acting anything out. She's basically just being interviewed. But anyway, I liked little gems finding those performers. that's my favorite thing about like New York, and that you have access to these amazing performers that maybe are very unknown.
I love that. That's a great answer. Mm-hmm. Another question I'm asking less as a playwright and more as an actor or performer. Do you find it hard because that you're basically reenacting a traumatic part of your life every night? Like, mm-hmm. how do you feel that's taxing on you, where at the end of the night, like you're not sure how to handle yourself? Like, is that a difficult thing to get through every night?
Yeah, I think that it feels good to feel things. I felt a lot of my life coming from like the household that I did, like it wasn't okay to feel things. Like it was like I was so shut down my whole life that feeling things is like therapeutic. And also when I'm making something, it feels like it's its own thing. it's its own thing. And I'm able to like separate it from myself. And when I did the Run It Here, for 3 weeks, it was like, I was like doing the show and I was like, okay. And people would ask me that. They're like, is it like traumatic to like relive? And I was like, you know, no, it feels like it feels separate from me to an extent. And then I had this weekend, it was like the second week in, and all of a sudden all this grief like hit me like a truck. And it was just like the whole weekend, I was just sobbing. And it was like, oh, okay, this is what people like talk about and what they were asking me. But yeah, so it happens, but it's not like every day and every night, you know. It's still just like you're acting a role and you've been working on it for a long time. And I'm still like an actor and I'm able to kind of separate myself from the character that is me that I'm playing.
So I want to know about the development from when it was basically before when it had its original run to this Wild Project run. Is there any massive changes or even small changes that are going to be in between those two performances?
Yeah, first of all, it's been like 9 months since I performed it. And so my relationship to it is different. And my relationship to my father's death is different. So in that way, I'm discovering through rehearsal, right? I'm in rehearsal right now. So I'm discovering that I'm able to go a lot deeper into it. And that's really exciting. And also there have been rewrites. And so, for example, like there's a moment where I've come to see my dad and I'm able to tell him how much I love him. And then he's like, and then we watch a movie and you see him and he's really wasted. He's like on morphine because he's, you know, dealing with the pain of being sick, and he's wasted and he like says these disturbing things to the movie that we're watching. And in the last version, he just said like one thing. And then for this version where he has like a whole kind of like rant where he goes off on like me and my sister and, you know, the movie. And it's just like, it's a lot more disturbing because it's going a lot further. And so it's exciting to really, to push it and kind of cross the line. I feel like the show already crosses a line, but like, this is like, okay, like, fuck it. Like, let's just go all the way, you know?
All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about mentorship. You've mentioned in the past, like, few minutes that you have a lot of mentors that have affected you. I'm curious, like, who are your artistic mentors and what have they helped you to achieve?
Well, one of my mentors is, I mean, I've had like amazing teachers throughout my education. I got my BFA mm-hmm. at ETW at NYU, and I had an acting teacher named Raina Waldenberg, and she, you know, changed my life. And then in graduate school, I had amazing teachers. But since I've been making my own work, I worked with this playwright, Matt Hoverman, who had a solo show workshop. And I took it and I was just like, I didn't know like what it was going to come out of that. But that was my first show, Penetrating the Space, came out of that. And I just felt like he saw me, like he saw my weirdness. He saw and he was we were able to connect and we had a lot in common. And he's just like supported me throughout my process of making work and given me tons of feedback. And he's brilliant himself. And but I've always needed like mentors because it's just so hard, you know, to be an artist, and whether it's just encouragement or feedback or, you know, a lot of it is like feedback of like, you know, this is what you're afraid of, like go toward that. Because for me, I have a hard time seeing that a lot of times because I, you know, like I'm so close to it. So, for me, a lot of it is having that outside eye and having somebody be like, you know, no, like keep going, like you're there. You just have to, you need to just go further into it.
Fantastic answer. Now I have a really goofy thing just to wrap this on up. And just a curious question for me for what I watched through Dad in a Box, and it's actually really, really incredible. The one thing that stood out to me as a watcher that isn't actually in the audience but watching a video is, man, I love your shoes. Were those a choice by you, or was that a
Oh my God, I love that you're asking this, because now I literally, I wore them. I'll tell you the story. I was in London. My wife is a painter and she had a show in London. So we went there and I was like, for me, I'm so picky about boots, but I love boots, but I'm so ultra picky. It like takes me like a year to find the right pair. So anyway, we were downtown in London. I forget the neighborhood we were in, like the hip neighborhood. And we went into this thrift store. It was like the last one we were going into. And like, there they were, these red boots that were like vintage from the 80s. Those ones that like my sister had when I worshiped her when I was like, you know, 12, and they are red. And I was like, oh my God. And I put them on and they were my size. It was too amazing. So I wore them and wore them and wore them during that time period. And Raquel was like, yeah, those, I was like, what should I wear, you know, for my shoes? She was like, those boots, they're like David Bowie's boots or something. And so I wore them to the point where there was a hole in the sole. So now I just keep them in my like bag with all my costumes, and I just break them out like in the rehearsal room and like when I'm performing, but I can't wear them like in daily life anymore. But yeah, but I love that you noticed those boots, because I love them.
They stand out and they're wonderful. And even when the show is getting like really emotional and all that, I would just be like, hello.
I know. I'm glad you said that, because I was almost like maybe I should retire them because they have a hole in the soul, and like, and I'm like, no, that they're like, I'm so connected. They're like I feel like they're my skin now. Like when I put them on, it's like I need them in order to even do the show. It's yeah.
Yeah, because with all the costume changes, the wig changes, the boots are always there.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so glad that we're ending on this note of the boots.
So I want you to promote everything and anything right now. Just lay it all out for the people.
Okay, so the show is called Dad in a Box. It's January 5th, 2020, Sunday at 7 p.m. at Wild Project in the East Village. And it's a one-night only thing at Wild Project. It's going to be major, because I'm really going to go for it. I mean, I always go for it, but this feels, something about it feels even more going for it-ish. So yeah, that's my plug. Yeah.
Go see it, everyone. Do you have any social media you want to put out there in case people want to get in contact with you and see you in the real world?
Sure. Yeah. My website is kimkatzberg.com. And then everything is there. Yeah.
You will see that in the show notes right here. All right. Thank you so much, Kim. You are an absolute joy to talk to. And you are an extreme talent, and the theater world is lucky to have you. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you, Jesse. This was so fun. And I feel so, I'm like high right now because it was such a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm. And anytime you want to come back to promote anything, feel free to come back. There will always be a spot reserved for you.
Oh, thank you so much. And, I hope we'll cross paths soon.
Oh, we will. All right, let's wrap this on up. We'll see you guys next time on Musicals with Me.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.